Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to having you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Welcome to the show. Hey, today we're going to talk about the three biggest retirement risks. We're also going to talk about the typical American trades the vast majority of their time, energy for the hope that someday they'll be free. Meanwhile, their intense pursuit of financial success is the very thing that robs them of their freedom. So where do we find freedom? How do we pursue it? We have Steve Cook, author of Life in the Air, talk to us about the Great American Reset and how 2021 is a great time to reshape your life down to the foundation. When it comes to the stock market, you don't want to be looking at the wrong thing and get hit by that stock market buzz. Hey, Greg Weimer of Confluence Financial is going to answer that question. Others, just like market timing, plus other perspectives of a year behind us, as well as the perspective of the year ahead of us. So with all that, let's get started. I'd like to introduce you to Greg Weimer. He's the partner at Confluence Financial. Greg has been guiding clients in the management of their wealth since 1986. That's 35 years. He was a senior vice president at American Funds. He even serves on their board of directors. He earned numerous awards for his planning and serving his clients. Besides that, he works for charities like the Washington City Mission, the Patriot House that houses homeless veterans. Greg's here to discuss a whole lot of things. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here. I heard you say 35 years, and it was startling to me.
Oh, how do I put it? We both have a face for radio, so what the hey, you know?
Long time.
I would love my hairline to recede forward, but it doesn't. So what can I say?
It's not going to happen. Right.
You know, when somebody says 30 years, you're kind of going, really? Just kind of goes like a blink in the eye. I mean, my son Connor's graduating from college this year. And, you know, my wife and I were just talking the other day. Oh, my God, it's gone.
Yeah, we just had our third grandchild. I'm just getting used to being called Dad. And now I'm getting used to being called Pappy. And I don't know how it went so fast. Let it dip.
You know, that's life, but that's a good thing, though. Sometimes it goes too fast and people need to stop and smell roses or at least be involved in the moment. What I'd like to do is just have people who are listening to this get a good understanding of your background. I know I just gave you, you know, some highlights there. Talk a little bit about you. And then I'd like to get into some of those questions that we talk about. Too many people are looking at the wrong things. They get hit really, really hard. And perfect example of that is the Robinhood situation with GameStop. There was a whole bunch of people that were talking about how they made all this money. And then you had a few people that you're hearing about now that borrowed money, took money out of this or that, and they lost it just because they were trying to cash in and didn't really understand what was going on. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about you, and then we'll hopefully not get hit by the stock market bust.
Yeah, for me, there's been a continuum of how I've thought about the business. When I was 21, I started in the business. I've never done anything else. I'm not qualified to do anything else other than help people think about their money. But it's interesting, the continuum. It used to be, we were stockbrokers. We used to buy this stock, sell this stock. And in the business, at least for people to do it properly, I think the business has absolutely evolved. I love your opening when you said you help people have a healthier and happier relationship with money. So I guess my whole career, the last 35 years, I've gone from thinking about an individual stock and helping being a stockbroker to helping people in our firm at Confluence Financial Partners really help people think about how do they maximize their life and legacy. And I think really, and that was the big lesson for last year also, by the way, the big lesson for last year, more than individual stock, is really, are people preparing appropriately so their money's just not a bunch of stocks? It's actually creating a purpose in their life. I've done this a long time. It's caused me to think a lot of windshield time, trying to think about what's really important to clients. And what's really important to clients is that their money has a purpose behind it, not just a collection of individual stocks, which I don't think people care that much. I don't think I care about. I didn't care about what matters to them, something bigger.
Well, let's talk about money having a purpose. How should people be thinking about that? Because, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a whole bunch of money or a little bit of money or you're in between somewhere. How should people be thinking about having a purpose for money?
I don't want to bore people with a long story, but I'll give you the abbreviated version. Here's where I've had my aha moment. I was actually in Turks and Caicos, and there was an 80-year-old man. He just had a little pickup in his step. And we were sitting there and having a drink, a little hut, overlooking the beautiful ocean in Turks and Caicos. And he said to me, "Listen to me, son. And when you're my age, 56, and people call you son, you remember the guy." So he said, "Listen to me, son." He said, here's what I want you to think about. He said, "You have to ask yourself the question, what's it all about?" And I said, "Help me understand that." He said, "I was out in the ocean one day fishing and I saw a piece of driftwood." And he said, "I realized that driftwood has had a long history." And he said, "I put it in the boat, I put it in my bed, and I wrote on that piece of driftwood, what's it all about?" So if nothing else, I think, and especially after a year like last year, I think it's a great opportunity for people to ask themselves the question, what's it all about? Do you care about creating moments in your life? Do you care about financial freedom? Do you care about making an impact on a charity? Do you want to leave a blessing for your children, or is it going to be received as a burden? What is that portfolio all about? And we think about individual stocks more than we ask the question is, what's it all about? For the listeners, you don't remember Greg Weimer, that's okay. I ask that you remember the question, what's it all about? And before you invest one more dollar, ask yourself what you're all about is all about.
I think that's wonderful, because too many people live a life where they're pursuing things. At the end of the day, when you walk out on life, it's really about the moments that you've had. For me, it's about the moments that I had. I like the fact that you give back to charity, because I work at homeless shelters and food pantries and stuff like that. I just don't give to them. I put the blood, sweat, and tears in because that stuff's important to me. The things that people are going to remember are those things.
And that should be in your plan, though. So like, it's interesting. Typical financial plans, like when do you want to retire? How much money you need? That's like the Flint stuff. Instead, it's like, wait, like, tell me about the moments you want to spend with your family. Oh, you want to take an extra vacation. You want to have experiences. You want to go have skydiving. They should be in your financial plan, or guess what? They're not going to happen. If you're 60 years old, you may only have 24 more Christmases, 24 more opportunities to go on vacation. And this, they should be in your plan, and you should be allocating money toward that. If it's a charity that you desperately care about and you really want to change and you really want an impact, that's what your money's about. And that's when money becomes a lot more interesting than the predictions that are usually inaccurate on a consistent basis they're making on TV. And it's lost in the way typically people are putting together their portfolios and their plans right now.
You know, I can bring that home a little bit further. I'm one of five kids. I have a brother. He has stage 4 melanoma. He's on hospice. They've given him about two months to live. But here's the cool thing for him. He has created a life for himself where he has helped two sons become Eagle Scouts. He's created a life for himself where he's been able to do everything he wanted with his family. And he did it in Indiana. And quite frankly, I'd never live in Indiana just because I'm from California and I don't like the cold that much. but the thing is, he's lived a life that he's happy with. He's had the job that he's loved, and he's been able to do all the things he's wanted to do with his family. So I can understand why, hey, what's the purpose with all this? And for him, it was family and doing all those things. And I could see that.
God bless him. He conquered the someday syndrome, right? So thank God, in hindsight, he didn't wait till someday. This myth that you should save all your money for someday and, you know, bells and whistles are going to go off. And it's just, there's more to planning than that. It's great that he's had the opportunity to do those things.
So I hear this all the time. People, they talk at bars, they talk at different places, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to get out of this. Or you hear the story where I made this much money, you're like, really? How? Let's talk about market timing a little bit.
Okay, it doesn't work. Next subject. I don't know.
I love to hear that.
Anyone that's trying it, like, stop it immediately. It's lethal. You're gonna lose. Now, it's like everybody wins at the casino, but the casinos build big buildings. Like, you're not winning at the casino. You're not winning at market timing. If you did it once or twice, you got lucky. I've been doing this 35 years. I've never seen one person do it. It just doesn't work.
The reality here is we saw some fun things that happened with GameStop here, where a bunch of people did really, really well. And then a bunch of people didn't do really, really well, or the people who did really well lost everything or back to basics, just because I wanted to make sure that message was out there, because there's so many people who think they're very,
no question,
they can do that. Now, the next thing,
and it's sort of like, but here's the other thing. So if someone did really, really well, it's even more dangerous than the people that did it. Because the people that did really, really well have this fictitious belief that they can do that because they made money on GameStop, which made no sense. And they made money on it, and then they're going to try to do it, right? And so it's like your second million is the most dangerous. They will ultimately lose that money. They are only renting it for a short period of time because it's not a repeatable process. Well, and now they believe they can do it.
Well, actually, I have another little story from one of my clients. She's divorced. Her ex, and I won't say the name, he wrote a book on how he made all this money with options. And one of the reasons why they got divorced is because he started and he made a bunch, and then he lost it all. And his last couple $100,000, he made a whole bunch, and then he wrote a book. And he probably made more on the book than he did in the market. So she goes, and the reason why I you know, divorced him is because of the craziness that went along with that, because he wanted to replicate that win. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah, totally understand.
I want to talk more family stuff, but I want to do that in the second segment. There's so many people are looking the wrong way and they get hit by that stock market bus. Could you help us understand what that is and why people are doing that and how they should be looking, that type of thing?
Well, I don't think you get hit by the stock market bus if you have the right time. So unfortunately, I think if 2020 taught us anything, it's predicting the market and predicting what's going on in the economy is not a successful venture. Meaning that you could have predicted 2020 precisely correct with the pandemic, and your response would not have been stay in the market, get aggressive in the market, and you would have thought go to cash would have been the right answer. It's the wrong answer. So if people aren't going to invest for 5 or 10 years into the market, they shouldn't be investing at all. The only people that have lost money in the market is when they let their emotions get in the way in the short run. I mean, that's what's happened, because emotions are not your friend in the stock market.
Hold on to that thought and stick with it, and we'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back. This is Steve Sexton here on Saving with Steve. I really want to truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I then encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. Again, all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook, you can go to Saving with Steve Sexton for the Insiders Club. You can also go to savingwithsteve.us to get all the replays, exclusive access to shows, videos, and gifts. So we have Greg Weimer. He's back. He's with. He's been talking to us about how not to be emotional when making stock market decisions. So Greg, let's pick it up right there, because I think this is vitally important Because we've all gotten phone calls from people asking, hey, what should I do? Especially like last March, where we saw, a 9.5% drop in 1 month. And some people just walked away. And some people said, let's see what's going to happen. Let's go back and talk about the emotion that's people involved with in the market, and how it creates problems for them, especially with retirement and other things.
Yeah. So first of all, I think it's hard to tell someone to have patience when the market's going down as extreme as it was in March and April. But I think it's different to help someone have informed patience. And informed patience comes with understanding that over time, after there's a shock to the system, whether it's 08, 09, September 11, panic, comparing to other pandemics, if you look where there's an emotional moment like that, ultimately capitalism wins and the market comes back. The only question is when. The market will come back. The only question is when. So the key is, in addition to informed patience, is proper planning. The people that really got hurt in March and April were the ones that needed their money for income. So it's really important from a planning standpoint to have your asset matched up with your liabilities, meaning that if you have a down market and you're in the distribution phase of your life, you ultimately should have enough money in cash and short-term bonds so you don't have to take your money out of the market. So I think too much time is put into trying to predict and too little time is put into trying to plan, because there will be another frightening moment, and I've been through a lot of them, and they're all frightening. It will end. There will be some people, unfortunately, that panic and get out, but people that have a good advisor with a good plan, they'll live to tell another day and another market high. So it's more informed patience and planning than trying to predict. Because we have people right now saying, do you think the market's going to go down, as if we know. After it goes down, what does it do? Oh, it'll go back up. We know where the next 100% move in the market's going to be, but we try to predict the next 10%. And it's because it's a time frame issue and an education issue.
So when you talk about the education issue for a client, from an advisor, the relationship, do you believe it's important for the client to understand what's going to happen if this were to occur?
I think it's to know what's going to happen, the frequency when it happens, the anticipated time frame, making sure they understand it could be a year or two. Absolutely. I think it's understanding what it's going to feel like before the market's down 30%, saying, okay, when this happens, here's what we're going to do. So when you're being rational, you come to conclusions about behavior instead of when it's an emotional moment. Now, we've been through a lot of them, right? Some advisors are relatively new, and unfortunately, some of them panicked more than their advisors. I heard Nick Murray, he's a writer, I think he's a brilliant guy, talk about you build lifeboat drills. And that is, when you go onto a cruise ship, the first thing they do is they put you on the deck and they say, okay, if there's a tragedy, here's how what we're going to behave like when you're not in the middle of the tragedy. So I think there's some education and understanding of when the market goes down, here's what it's going to feel like, here's the behavior we should have. And we call our clients and just don't forget, you don't need any of this money for 3 years. We have enough money in cash, we can help support your income needs. And so people right away felt more comfortable to hold on.
So good communication and understanding would occur if this were to happen, and to understand their situation creates that patience.
Precisely.
That's perfect. One of the things that we were talking about before you came onto the show is you have a unique process that you utilize with your family for educating them, for having a family meeting. So kind of walk us through that, because I think that's vitally important, because there's so many people just don't understand what's going to happen, when, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I'll back up, summarize, go forward. Again, the key is to really figure out what you're all about is all about. So what do you want your life to look like? Your portfolio should be supporting that and structured for your life, not to beat some index that no one even could define. So first, portfolio should be structured to maximize your life. If it's for charity, if it's for moments, if it's for Eagle Scouts, whatever those things are. Also, there should be some thought put into what you want your legacy to look like. Because as a practical matter, what happens is many times when money's inherited, two things happen. One, the folks that inherit it, typically your children, it's a burden. It stresses them out. They fight about it. It creates anxiety. They don't want to let the mom and dad down. Did they squander? And then that's the second thing. 70 to 90% second and third generation money squandered. And so the number one reason is lack of communication. So we can't stress enough for folks to think about, what do they want their legacy to look like? Who do they want to receive it? For what benefit? And to talk about it today, we have with our clients, we have family meetings where they'll bring their family together, and the amount of information we share is solely dependent on family. But I started that with my family several years ago, where we all get together and we say, hey, here's what our portfolio is. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it's for. Here's the expectations. Here's the charities we care about. And so then, God willing, my four children won't be in disagreement. And we have the next 30 years to talk about the legacy. And the first one, I will admit, the first time you do it with the family, it's weird. But after you do it for years, you start to understand the family. And it becomes, our family meeting this year went 2.5 hours. And only because, you know, our granddaughters had to get home and nap, or it'd still be going on. So we have it every year around Christmas time. So we have families that say, well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, that's why there's a problem. Communication helps. We all have to be careful how we talk about it. Every family's different, but having a family meeting and really understanding your priorities and start to do some investing 101 is essential.
I actually agree with you there. I'm just saying this from my own family. My dad's an engineer, missile guidance systems, all that kind of good stuff. In a family of five, he handled all the financial stuff. It wasn't until he was in his late 70s, and he's still alive, that he had a health issue. It was a simple health issue. Had a gallstone, thought he was going to die. And then realized, oh my gosh, I need to start educating my wife of 50 plus years about this stuff. So we spent about 3 years just teaching my mom about what's going on, how it operates and all that, till she got to the point where she says, okay, this is why you guys are doing that. This is why this is occurring. And it was like having the monkey off my dad's back. And I can see that for a lot of parents, because now the ones you love understand what's going on. They're not afraid of it. They're not going to squander it because they also know how important it is. I think that's really something special. And I would encourage people to do that no matter how much money you have. Educating your kids about finances is so important.
That's one of the takeaways. Please talk to your family. Please think about that, because I think a lot of us that have children, what we really, really hope is that if something happens to us, someone will make sure our children and grandchildren, everything's okay. They don't fight. The money's well cared for. It's not squandered. And whoever you can find in your life that can help you conduct that family meeting and really make sure your legacy is everything it deserves and should be and everything you visualize, it's essential. So figuring out what you care about in your life and in your legacy. And once your portfolio is all about supporting that, it actually becomes a lot of fun because it's about those bigger issues than what's going on in like GameStop, right? Like not really what it's about. But then fortunately, that gets all the press, and maximizing your life and maximizing your legacy isn't talked about. Maybe some people think it's a little boring. I don't know. It's essential. When you see it happen in a family and you see them really maximizing their lives with moment and you see them really defining their legacy, it's extraordinarily rewarding.
I actually find out when I see people like that, they no longer talk about stocks. It's not about that anymore. Those discussions are actually cut off. They kind of leave the room when people talk that way. Right. Hey, Greg, we're almost up with our time here. I want to thank you for joining us today. Your insights have been outstanding. What I would like to do is, if somebody would like to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
First of all, it's Greg Weimer. Our telephone number in Pittsburgh, 724-271-8801. So that's our telephone number for people that would rather do that versus connecting with us on the website. If you want to come to our website, it's confluencefp.com. I'll do that slower. We do a lot of things well. Obviously, coming up with website names aren't, that's not one of them. So it's Confluence, C-O-N-F-L-U-E-N-D-E-F-P, as in financial planning, FP.com. Get on there, say you want to talk to someone, love to give you some pointers on how to conduct a family meeting or give you a second opinion.
Greg, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. I hope it warms up there in Pittsburgh.
Eventually. It always does.
Temperature always goes up. It might be a month, but it'll go up. Hey, thanks again for joining us. You have a wonderful week and stay safe.
Thanks, Steve. Enjoy.
I will. Bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money,
tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
That was Greg Weimer. Just outstanding. Having a purpose for your money, whether it be charity, your family, or something else that's important to you is key. I find everybody who does that, they no longer worry or talk about the money. They talk about what they're doing because that is important in their life, what the purpose is. The next segment, I'm going to be talking about the three biggest retirement risks, which are longevity, inflation, and market risk. I'm going to go over these things and I'm going to give you some things you might need to consider with you're looking at this within your portfolio or just overall in your planning. Now, first of all, let's talk about longevity. Longevity is all about the risk of outliving your money. The weird thing here is this, economists talk about it, advisors talk about it, but most pre-retirees, it's not that sexy of a topic because it's longevity. Most people don't want to live too long. But here's the big thing. From a longevity standpoint, if you're healthy and 65 years old, you have a 50% probability of living 22 years till the age of 87. If you're female and 65 and healthy, you have a 50% probability of living actually 2 to 4 years longer than that. If you're a married couple that's healthy at age 65, you have a 75% probability that one of you will live to the age of 88, a 50% probability that one of you will live to 93, and a 25% probability that one spouse will live to the age of 98. Now, here's the big thing. You're going to need to pay living expenses for all those years with annual increases for some things like medical, long-term care, things like that. Next thing, inflation. Eventually, inflation's going to go up, but lately it's been relatively low. To give you an idea, the purchasing power always declines over time. If you look at a stamp in 1971, it was 21, 22 cents. What is it now? It's 51 cents. You see, gas is higher. I remember in the 70s with Starsky and Hutch, it was 35 cents a gallon. What is it now? Over $4. Nuts. And there are some expenses that typically grow a little bit faster than the consumer price index, which is about 3.1 over a 100-year period. We've had lows, we've had highs, but that's 3.1%. If you're looking at things like medical expenses and medical coverage or long-term care coverage, you're looking at 5, 6, 7% or more. So it's really important that you factor those in. The reality is the cost of most goods and services you purchase will rise over time. So you'll need to increase your income just to maintain your retirement lifestyle. And the last one is market risk, market declines. Most retirees are comfortable as long as they earn the historical long-term average rate of return. The only issue with that is a bear market in the first few years of retiring or a bear market down the road. Just like what Greg was saying, is you want to plan for the longer term. You want to make sure your portfolio is structured in a fashion that enables you to do those things. When you're looking at that bear market in the first few years and you look at the sequence of returns, an individual, say the first 3 or 4 years that has a negative sequence of returns, as opposed to the person in the first 3 or 4 years of their retirement have the positive returns, the person that has the positive returns will obviously have a significant amount more money in their accounts. What are the things that you can do? First of all, you want to maximize all your incomes. How do we go about doing that? Number one, we look at maximizing things like Social Security. Only about 4% of Americans optimize their Social Security. Most people leave tens of thousands of dollars on the table, end up reducing their lifetime benefit from Social Security. Perfect example, had a client that came in Her and her husband were 65 and her husband had passed away. She was looking at either taking her husband's Social Security as a widower's benefit or taking her own. The reality is both Social Securities were pretty much the same amount. And I said, you know what? Hold on a second. Let's take a look at you taking your widower's benefit. She said, why would I do that? And I said, well, because your benefit would grow by 8% a year and max out at 32% more. Now, by doing so, that increased her Social Security by $500 a month, $6,000 a year. She lived 20 years. That's $120,000, folks. I've seen this. I've worked with people a number of times. You need to be talking to a specialist here to make sure you maximize your Social Security, because you don't want to leave a couple hundred thousand dollars on the table because you don't select Social Security in the right fashion. Talking about making sure you have the right withdrawal rate when it comes to your withdrawals from your investments. So for example, if you're looking at 3 or 4% range, great. You just want to make sure that you have enough with market volatility that you're going to be able to live the rest of your life and have the retirement of your dreams. The next thing, people are considering, maybe I can use annuities either to reduce the risk in the portfolio or create a guaranteed income for as long as I live. So you might want to consider doing that. Again, if you're going to do something like that, talk to a financial advisor. Next, remember I talked about the sequence of returns? Now I want to talk about the sequence of withdrawals. A lot of people look at having a, what's called a two bucket strategy, where they have, they say 60% of their assets at risk in the market and stocks and stuff. And then another 40% either sitting in annuities or bonds or something like that. Now, but what's happening here is they're taking their income from the account that's growing every year, that at risk at 60%, and allowing that safe account or that safe bucket to grow. When the market goes negative, the income comes out from the safe bucket, which allows for the risk bucket to get back to even and grow a little bit before you start taking it out of the growth run, so you don't burn through the account. And by doing so, over a 22, 23 year period, you can have 40, as much as 40% more in assets left over when you're 20 years down the road. So it's something to consider. Next, you want to look at, hey, those rising medical costs. Hey, they're pesky things, aren't they? Here's the thing. Consider supplementing your long-term care coverage through a Medigap plan or through a Medicare Advantage plan. You want to look at budgeting for long-term care costs. Even if you don't need home health care, consider planning for some type of assisted living. Also, look at protecting against long-term care expenses. These are the largest expenses. Hey, could cost $200,000 or $300,000 over your retirement. So insuring it might not be a bad idea. Now, you can look at long-term care, but if you look at the increase in costs or the inflation with those, it might be a little bit too much. So a lot of people are turning to life insurance. And what happens is they get a life insurance policy that has a long-term care benefit, to where, hey, if they have a $500,000 life insurance policy, they also have $500,000 that goes towards long-term care. So it's something to consider. If you can't qualify health-wise for long-term care or life insurance, you can also look at annuities that have a long-term care benefit, to where you can get your benefits covered for it that way. Last and most important, you want to get a trust. Make sure you have your wishes in writing. That means having a will, having a trust, having a durable power of attorney, so somebody can make financial decisions on your behalf, a healthcare directive, so somebody can make health decisions on your behalf. And you want to make sure you have that do not resuscitate. Now, if you have a trust, you won't go through probate. And if you don't have a trust and you do go through probate, here's what happens. Basically, your estate has to go into a testate, which means it files a lawsuit against itself. And then the courts determine who receives your assets. If you're married and go through this, this could cause major distress, discomfort, mayhem, the whole shot, and a loss of a tremendous amount of money. So you want to make sure you have a trust. One of the big things here is this. If you have these in place, you can save the ones you love from a lot of heartache and mess and a lot of money. With that, I think it's really, really important you think about those things. If you're looking at implementing any of those considerations I talked about, I recommend you talk to your financial advisor, especially when it comes to things like maximizing your Social Security, because making that Social Security decision, there's a lot of little nuances besides your income. A lot of people say, hey, you know what? I'm going to wait till I'm 70, but they don't realize they're giving up $2,000 a month or $100,000 that they've got to take from somewhere else in order to get them to $2,600. That might take them a long time to break even. So think about that. Make sure you get some help to make sure you're doing the right thing. Get somebody like Greg to help you out. I want to take a break right now. We're going to jump right back in a second. And we're going to come back to you with Steve Cook.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, I want to welcome you back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. In our next segment, I would just want to pose this question or this thought. The typical American trades the vast majority of their time and energy for the hope that someday, hey, they're going to be free. Meanwhile, their intense pursuit of financial success is the things that's been robbing them of their freedom. So where do we find freedom? What should we pursue? Steve Cook, the author of Life in Air, challenges you to consider what is that you really desire. Steve's here to talk to us about the Great American Reset and how 2021 is a perfect time to reshape your life down to the foundation and revamp everything. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, it's really interesting. When I was reading your story, you had a couple of restaurants that weren't quite successful, and then you revamped yourself, got into the real estate business, and has been very, very, very successful ever since. Could you just take a moment and share your story, obviously a little bit more detail than me, so everybody can understand where you're coming from and how, what prompted you to write the book Life in Air?
Yes, happy to. I grew up in a home where, unfortunately, my parents had gotten divorced at a very early age. And so we grew up poor. My mother was raising three boys on her own. And one of the things that was talked about all the time in our house was if we just had more money, life would be better. I ended up developing an entrepreneurial spirit pretty early. I was out doing paper routes when I was 11 years old, starting other businesses as a teenager. But, you know, I kept on failing over and over and over again in business. And, you know, at 21 years old, I bought my first restaurant. I thought I was going to be rich and ended up not working out. And I didn't learn my lesson the first time. I bought another one when I was 25. And again, I fell on my face with that one and I lost my shirt. But then I really just buckled down and I got into the real estate investing game. And once I got into real estate investing, it was the light bulb that just went off and I got it. I was one of those sort of rags to riches stories where within my first couple of years, I was a house flipper. I flipped over 100 houses my first 2 years in the business. Consequently, people were coming from all over the country wanting to learn what I was doing, to pick my brain. And they were taking me out to dinner. They were taking me out to lunch. And, you know, I started to feel really overwhelmed. And during that time with the overwhelm, I just felt like, okay, things are supposed to be better. What's going on right now? Why am I so busy? And I looked at my schedule and I had 27 lunches or dinners over the course of a month with people. And those typically were 3 to 4 hours long. And I came to realize, okay, I just spent over 100 hours in a restaurant talking to people about what I do. And so at that time, I wrote my first book, and it was really teaching people how to do what I did in real estate investing. Mm-hmm. My motive for writing that book was just to answer everybody's questions and to just give them all the information that they needed and so that I didn't have to do it over and over one person at a time in a restaurant. And long story short, that took off. The book just started selling like crazy. I was making more money from that one little book that I wrote than I ever made in a year prior to my real estate investing career. And that just led to more people asking questions. And I never anticipated being in that field. I never saw myself as somebody who's going to educate people and standing at the front of a room and speaking and teaching people how to do that. But that's where I found myself. And I saw some of my students becoming very successful. And it was a very, very proud thing for me to just, you know, watch people taking the things I was teaching them and growing. But after a little while, I started to see something I didn't like. I started to see their marriages become compromised. I started to see their families becoming dysfunctional. And what was happening was they were pouring everything into the business and sacrificing the things in their lives that were most important to them in an attempt to be more successful in the business world. You know, I remember my early conversations with those people and, you know, they said, well, I want to build this and I want to do this for my family. But ultimately, the family was the one who was sacrificing and paying the price. So that's when I knew something had to change. Something had to be different. And I sort of went on this search myself. You know, a common question that people would come to me with was, you know, Steve, help me to become a millionaire. I started asking, well, why do you want to be a millionaire? And almost every person answered the question, well, so I can give my family more, or I could be a better father or be a better husband. And that was always the common thing. I would tell people, you don't need money to do that. You just need to do what good fathers do or do what a good husband does. And whether you have money or not, you can be those things. But I saw this disconnect that so many people felt like they had to be successful financially and have a lot of money in order to be successful in life as well. And so Lifeanaire was really just a play on the word millionaire, and that what people really wanted was to have a great life. They wanted money in hopes that it would pay for the great life that they dreamed of having. So that's how I got there.
Here's the reason why I identify with that so well. I come from a family of five. My dad was an executive in a defense company, but I grew up working really, really hard for everything I got. And then when I got in the corporate world, it was 12, 15, 18 hour days. When I got out of the corporate world and went into my own business, it was 12 to 18 hour days. And I was the guy that would leave exactly 31 minutes before my son's birthday party would start. And sometimes I'd be late. My wife wasn't too happy about that. And I kept doing those type of things and something had to give. And what gave is I had a bout of colon cancer. And this was 16 years ago. Where I identify with that is this. Once I had that, I realized that none of this is worth it. None of it is. And after that, it was like, I go to every single practice. I go to every single game. I'm there early. I look at it like my business appointments. I don't work after 5. Don't do weekends. All that kind of good stuff. And since then, I mean, I'm healthier, happier. And I'll say that some of the toughest things were to give up stuff.
And I think a lot of people end up there and they find themselves really struggling with it. And they feel like they're making a sacrifice when the reality of the situation is when you understand it, what you're gaining so far outweighs the things that you feel like you're sacrificing. And, you know, as I was giving up stuff, I was actually selling some things at a loss and people thought I was crazy. And I said, well, I see it as buying my life back. And that's more valuable to me. And I would rather have my life back than to continue to keep playing this charade and acting like my life is defined by the things that I own.
You know, it's really interesting. We do advanced tax planning with a lot of people, especially in the real estate field, but I have conversations with people who have multiple rental properties. It always comes down to the tenants, the toilet. In fact, I had one lady, she goes, the final straw was the fact they got a phone call from a tenant on Christmas morning. They stopped at the toilet and we had to get somebody out there, but nobody would go out there. So I had to take a 3-hour drive to go out there, take care of the toilet. And that was done. I always ask, how many times you've been to Home Depot? Yeah. And they almost yell, well, about 900 times. You know, doing what you do, you probably understand where I'm coming from, but it's one of those things where they've allowed this perception of where they want to be to get in the way of their life.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I'm really identifying with your book and your message. So, you know, you made another statement where when you're suffering finance, lifestyle, and relationships spiritually, if you dig down to the root, you might find the problem if you brought into a culture narrative that tells you to hustle, grind, stay busy, and keep pursuing more. Could you help people understand this? Because I actually said it to somebody and they say, well, what do they mean? And I just thought to him, I said, oh, geez, that means you don't get it. And this was a very smart man that quite frankly has lots of health issues, but he's always working and always doing all that kind of stuff. So I thought, if people can understand what that really is and where that the root of the issues are, maybe they can deal with it.
Well, I'll share it in the form of my own personal story in that once I started really achieving some success with real estate investing, I started making more money in a month than I had ever made in a year. At that time, I decided I was going to go seek counsel and find out what was the right thing to do with my money. Really, the first person I went to was my pastor, who referred me to some people within the local community. He referred me to CPAs and estate planners. He referred me to other business people. And I went around the country seeking out some of the top real estate investors that I knew around the country to just get advice and put together a plan. Now, I was this young guy making a lot of money, and people were eager to help me. They wanted to help me. And they put together a plan, and I took their plan and I followed it to the T. Now, this was pretty early in my real estate investing career. When I walked in and started talking to them, I, for all intents and purposes, had zero in assets. I had a little bit of cash that I had just made recently. I had zero in assets. In a little over 3 years, I went to over $7 million in assets. And everyone's sitting there patting me on the back and telling me how great I was doing. And I was not feeling successful in the midst of all that. You know, you had mentioned earlier that when you went into business for yourself, you were still working the 12, 15, or 18 hour days. And I was a worse boss than the boss I tried to get away from. I was making myself work those kinds of hours. And the thing that I really wanted was freedom and life. I wanted to be able to experience life, but I found that as I kept on building my business, I was less free. And so what I came to discover was that the thing that I really wanted, none of those people who helped put together the plan even ever asked me. They said, no one said, Steve, do you want, you know, what do you want out of life? Every single person just assumed that the goal of my life was to accumulate more assets. And the plan that they put in place did exactly that. It worked beautifully. It did what it was supposed to do.
Steve, I'm going to hold you right there. We need to take a break. So this is outstanding. I want people to hear this. So hold on just 1 second.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello and welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I just want to take a moment. Our listeners increased over 337,000. In fact, last week we had 187,000 people listen to our show. I thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you'll never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All of these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. If you'd like to follow us, you can follow us at Saving with Steve Sexton or go to savingwithsteve.us for all the replays, special gifts, and more. We're back here with Steve Cook in Life and Air, and he's just about to spill the big moment.
So I had just shared about how everyone who I went to for consulting had put together this awesome plan, and the plan did exactly what it was supposed to do. The problem was not one person said, Steve, what do you want your life to look like? How do you want to experience life? There was just this assumption, and this is sort of the American way, that the goal of life is to just accumulate as much wealth as you can, and that you're willing to sacrifice your life in order to do that. And so the whole plan was designed to build my net worth, to accumulate as much as I could. I followed it to the T, and I went from zero to over $7 million in just a little over 3 years in assets. However, it came at the expense of everything else in my life. It meant that I had to serve that business with many, many hours. And what we do at Lifeinair is, you know, we have really taken this to the point now where we help people to work less, make more, and experience a better life. And with just the right planning from the very beginning, if they would have said, Steve, what do you want your life to look like? We would have designed the business to be completely different. Instead, the business was designed for me to give my life to it in hopes that one day it would give it back.
That's so true, because and our previous guests talked about that. What's the purpose for the money? Is it to provide for your family? Is it provide for charity? What is it, that goal that people want? And obviously people take a far different path. And I find that when people understand what that is for themselves, they don't talk about how the stocks did, how the real estate's doing. They talk about how their life's doing. Have you seen that, or you've seen different things?
It's interesting, depending upon the circles that I'm in. When I'm around people who have been around me for a while or following life near principles, they only talk about life. Rarely do they ever talk about money. But, you know, I get invited to speak at real estate investor meetings quite often. COVID, I haven't been to one for a while, but I've spent, you know, much time in front of real estate investor groups. And if I ask a whole room of people, you know, I'll sit there and I'll challenge them. I'll say, you know, when I ask a group of people what it is that they want out of life, no one knows. I said, in fact, every single one of them, you know, sits there and they think how much passive income they want, how much they want their 401k, how big they want their retirement accounts to be, their balance sheet. That's the thought that they have when I ask them, what do you want your life to look like? We just live in this culture that has really conditioned us to believe that that's what life is all about. You know, I use an illustration of the board game Life. We play this game with kids. We play it as children. We play it with our kids. Mm-hmm. And the object of the game is to accumulate the most. The person with the most money at the end of the game is the one who wins the game of life. We're instilling that into ourselves as children, into our children, and coming out of school thinking that, okay, if I'm going to be successful at this game called life, I need to make as much as I can. When the game just might be different if the object was different. If the object of the game was to have the best life experiences, we might live differently or play differently. And, you know, thankfully for you, your episode with colon cancer, why do we have to wait for something like that to happen to wake us up and to realize that there's something more? Just to take some time to think about it. Think about what do you want your life to look like and plan accordingly is something that changes everything. You know, most people spend more time planning someone's 50th birthday party than they will their own life. And it's amazing that how little time people actually put into planning their life. They plan their finances, but not their life.
That's so very true. What I'd like to do is talk about what things people should be considering doing in the way of kind of like revamping their life. How can they do that big reset down to the foundation in 2021? Because right now, with all the stuff that's going on, it's a great time. It's the perfect time to reset anybody's foundation and start over.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I find that when people do come to me for consulting or coaching is that I'm not trying to add more for them to do. I'm actually sometimes trying to take some things off of their platter and, you know, encouraging them to quit doing some things. And we had recently put together an article called The Year of the Quitter and things that people should quit doing in 2021. And one of the first things that we were talking about was, you know, stop measuring how successful you are based off of how much money you have or how well you're doing financially. Many of the people who I come across, they have more year after year after year than they did the previous year, but life isn't getting any better. Their relationships aren't getting stronger. They're not enjoying life. They're just spending more time working and accumulating more. And the reality is they're taking on more responsibility, having to manage everything that they have. And not that it's a bad thing to make money. We love making money, but we need to put it in the right context and do it the right way so that we get to enjoy it and enjoy life along with it.
That's wonderful. Now, I like this one. Yeah, I put this down. Quit taking on debt.
There's not a person who I come across that I work with who tells me that they don't want to be out of debt. Every one of them wants to be debt free. Yet they all take on more debt as they go. And I joke about it sometimes that most people think that the path to getting out of debt is increasing their capacity to borrow. And it's the exact opposite. You know, we need to just cut ourselves off. And that's one of the key principles that we do teach in Life and Air. It's not that you have to be debt free, but that at least consider it to understand that debt is more than just the interest rate. When we can get a low interest rate, many people are intrigued by that and they want it. But the moment that you actually sign on the line, agree to repay something, you just promised away a portion of your working hours for years to come that I will do this. So in other words, when somebody signs on a mortgage, I get how it's smart to have a mortgage and things like that. But we do need to understand that we just promised away 25 to 40% of our working hours for the next 30 years of our life to the lender the moment we sign on that line. And as soon as you can understand that, you'll think twice about taking on too much debt when you realize you're promising your future away.
Especially with credit cards and all that and everybody trying to keep up. I know another one of yours, but I'm going to let you go. But, well, it's the next one. Yeah. Especially when everybody is trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, it's so funny because when I was growing up in high school, everybody wants the right shirt, jacket, the cool us glasses, or the nice car, or live in the right neighborhood or whatever. And they seem to want to just keep up with everybody. I learned that one a long time ago because some of the people that I was working with were worth 10 times more than I was. They drove the really nice big cars, the multi-$100,000 ones, and I knew I was never going to get there, so I didn't care. But you're right. So many people are trying to keep up with their neighbors or keep up with what everybody has.
It's a game that you can't win. First of all, the pursuit of it is just going to rob you of all the joy that you had hoped to get out of it. But more importantly, the moment you do keep up with the Joneses, all you got to do is look two doors further down and you're losing again. And you're just going to continue to go down that path. The reality of the situation is learning to be content with the things that you have. Most people have so much more. And I don't want people to mistake that with to not be ambitious. But the reality is if we were more grateful for the things that we already had, we'll experience so much joy and peace and stop comparing that, you know, hey, my car is 3 years old and they just got a brand new one. I need to keep up with them. It's not worth it. It doesn't satisfy.
Oh, I totally agree. I like the next one, not surrounding yourself with people who try too hard to impress you or others.
Yes, because they're always going to try to make you feel like that what you have is not enough. And the reality of the situation is most of the people who do that to you and who act that way, they don't have as much as you when you get down to it. When you get behind closed doors, they're really just trying to impress to make up for their own insecurities and doing everything they can to make you feel insecure. And sometimes they can really steer you in a way that you shouldn't go. And you're best off just not hanging around those people and trying to surround yourself with people who are encouraging and going to build you up instead.
Yeah, positive expectancy is a big thing, especially with all your friends. I love the next one. Stop taking financial advice from people who are no better than you.
Yeah, people take health advice. They take, how to be fit. They take relationship advice. They take financial advice from people who are not doing well. And, I just literally heard somebody say the other day, it's amazing that when you tell people you're going on a diet, everybody wants to give you advice as far as, you know, what you should do. And the same thing happens in the financial realm. You got to be really careful about who you're taking advice from. Take advice from people who are where you would like to be, not from people who are on the same journey, trying to figure it out and things like that. You want to get advice from experts.
I agree. Take advice from people who eats the same cooking you're eating, so to speak, because if they're not investing in it, why would you? Which is real interesting. I like this one. We only have about 30 or so seconds. Putting off life until a day when you have more wealth. I think that's the best.
Yes. And that's, I think, is the most important one. Someday might never come. We have today. Enjoy today. Make the most of it. Don't sit here and just live like a miser, putting everything away in hopes that 30 or 40 years from now, you're going to be able to be free and live the good life. Experience life today. It was meant to be enjoyed. You know, I want to just encourage people, if you're living life well today, you have joy and peace, you're going to be doing better later. Don't put it off.
Steve, that was outstanding. Hey, look, how can people get a hold of you? I know your book's on Amazon. Where else can they get that book? And how can people get a hold of you? And are you taking on coaching clients?
I do take on coaching clients. Most of my clients are small business owners. We help them to tweak their businesses, work less, make more, and enjoy life. As far as the book is concerned, I'll just say this. We have a goal this year to give away 100,000 copies of the book. And you can go to lifeandair.com. There's going to be a tab at the top that says free book. You can just go there and claim a free copy of the book. And our goal is to get the message out to as many people as we can.
You heard it here. Go to Life and Air and get a free copy of his book. It's worth the read. Trust me. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. I think your insights are outstanding. They fit my life. I know of many other people who could utilize, especially reading Life and Air. So thanks again for joining us today. I hope you have a great week and stay healthy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you. Bye. I want to thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll look forward to seeing you same time next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Save with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.